Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. Good morning to you. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Chicago and Illinois could soon be home, Dave, to Amazon's new headquarters.
I thought you already were home to Amazon's headquarters.
Well,
condo.
I do buy a lot from Amazon, though. Prime was one of the greatest things I've ever done.
That doesn't technically qualify as the headquarters?
Not technically. Chicago area has formally joined the fray to land the second headquarters. This could bring 50,000 high-paying jobs to Chicago, which is fantastic. The irony, I guess, I don't know if it is ironic, but Mayor Emanuel and Governor Rauner are both submitting the bid together on behalf of Chicago and the state of Illinois. Can you imagine that phone conversation? Hey, Bruce. Hey, Rom.
Yeah.
How you doing?
But
oh,
you know,
good.
It'd be great for the city, great for the state.
Yep, yep, so. Absolutely. Now, the deadline for all the proposals is at the end of the day on Thursday. After that, there's no timeline, so we don't know if the decision's going to be made in a day, a week, a month. I would assume it would have to be pretty quick. But there's a couple of different locations I think would be really good for the city. The old post office was one suggestion. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then the Finkel and Sons, the old steel plant up on Goose Island, that'd probably be a great location for it, right off the river.
And wasn't there talk about the location where the Tribune printing plant mm-hmm. is?
Yeah, the Freedom Center off mm-hmm. of Chicago and Halsted. Another great location.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. Again, developers of four Chicago sites have provided the details of their bids. The other one was the, we mentioned the Lincoln Yards, the Freedom Center, and the former Michael Reese Hospital site in Bronzeville. That land has been untapped for so long, or just, I guess, untouched. So,
all right, so who's the biggest competition?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know what the answer would be to that. I mean, I would say Chicago. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I would think Chicago has a fantastic shot.
Oh, I would think so. I would think so.
I don't see why.
But
not.
I'm just wondering what we could do to sabotage the other applicants.
Yeah, right. Seattle, I think, would be the other big one because they have the first one. So I guess maybe if they wanted to keep it in the same city, I highly doubt that would happen, though. So we'll see what happens with Amazon.
I wish the post office would be a good site, though.
Yeah, it's just not. That's had so many issues. And if you look, obviously, where it's built over Congress, it's just kind of a weird location.
Yeah, but you'd think they would love to have the words Amazon is the entrance to the city.
Plus, it's haunted.
Allegedly.
I guess that's what they say.
Needs a lot of work, that's for sure.
That is very true. And the Cubbies play again tonight. Dave will be talking us off the ledge all day long. 0-2.
Why is anybody on the ledge? No reason to be on the ledge.
Well, hold on a second. Have you lived in this town?
I understand people are on the ledge.
I don't know, though. There's been a change with Cub fans, and rightfully so, over the last 3 years, that start to believe and they start to expect wins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unlike it was back in 07 and 08 when got swept out of the playoffs where you're going, well, yeah, that's what the Cubs do. Now there's an expectation to win and a disappointment when they lose.
See, that's what happens, Steve, when you win all these World Series. You know what?
All these? One?
Yeah, well, one in 109 years.
Well, it is one in a row.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, and one in a row matters. So, did you guys get a chance to mention that the match game is back today?
Yes.
No, and, of course, the match game is an opportunity for really terrible celebrity answers matching listeners who have decent answers.
I think it's fun. Think
Coach
it's a fun
Q
game.
As well.
Is he going to play?
Coach Q, if we could get Coach Q to play the match game, I would just quit today. I would just go,
That would be a highlight.
I'm done.
Mic drop.
I'm completely done.
We have to ask Coach Q if he liked the mustache night. When
I don't know, because that's the only loss they've had all year in regulation.
I guarantee you he didn't like much about Mustache Night.
The pictures were good.
Except for the loss, yeah.
The kid of the week plug continues in that. We got a great kid today. We always have great kids, but we, you know, frankly, we like to hear more. You know, so if you got a kid that you want to recommend, you should get it into us and get it into us as soon as you can. Two things happened in the Trump press conference yesterday we'll get to as well. But I think it's important that that you know something about me. I'm not a big fan of this president. And I know this is a shock to a lot of you.
I know what you're going to say.
If you listen to the show with any regularity and you pay attention, you know, fairly closely, as so many of you do, and I appreciate that. I've spoken less about Trump in the last 30 to 45 days than I have since the moment that he announced. And here's the basic reason. I'm sick of it. I know you're sick of it. We're sick of it. But I feel like I've failed in that regard because I think I have a responsibility, not as a journalist, because I'm not a journalist. I'm a talk show host. I don't have the responsibility of not expressing my opinion. I express my opinion all the time. But I say this with absolute belief. My opinion is based in fact, because I do the homework and I do the reading that I need to do. I do the research I need to do. And I will absolutely grant you that I have a bias against this guy. I don't like him. I don't like him personally. And I certainly don't like him professionally, what he's done to the country. But I'm no different than the rest of you in that I'm burned out on how the constant flow of bad news from him is just tedious. And really, if you have someone, let's say that we're all one big American family, and if you have someone in your family that comes over for Thanksgiving and they're in your family, but you really don't enjoy seeing them, and every year they come in and they upset mom, they kind of turn the family dinner upside down, they're disappointing. Whoever your name is, by the way, if you don't know who that is in your life, it's you. But that's who Trump is. He's the disappointing member of our family. And you don't want to continually hear how this disappointing person, in this case, the most powerful man on earth, is bringing down the family. So it's a constant barrage of bad news. And I personally get really tired of talking about it. Now, here's the failure piece. The failure piece is, I believe it's my responsibility to this audience to continually remind you that we have a problem. And I could be better at how I express it. I could express it without such a firm attitude about how I feel about the guy. Be a little more open and to let you know, other people make up their own minds. It's hard for me. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for me. But when I see some of the things that he does, like yesterday's press conference, some of the statements that he made.
Oh, my God.
I continue to be stunned why this is not a 911 priority one situation in Congress to remove this man from office, because he is a grave danger to this country. It's not hyperbole. It's not me shooting my mouth off. And if you listen with any regularity, you cannot find a single time, because it hasn't happened between November and now, where I've said, oh, we'd be so much better off with Hillary, because this was never about Hillary Clinton. This is solely about Donald Trump and about his failures in the job. I think Hillary Clinton should go away even farther. I think she should stay in her tree fort. I think she should vacation in some other foreign country for the rest of her life. I think she should enjoy her life. Go on. Get out.
She'll be in Chicago in 2 weeks making an appearance.
Well, there's that, I suppose. But the fact is, we need better candidates with better ideas who actually care about the country as opposed to saving their backsides. And yesterday we saw two of the worst examples of it in Trump and McConnell. How weak did Mitch McConnell look?
Jeez.
So I'm trying. That's the punchline. I'm trying to present this story in a fair way, certainly in a factual way, but it's really hard for me to continue to talk about him every day, and it's hard for me not to blast him. I'm trying. That's all. I'm trying. I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm not asking for you to feel bad for me. I'm a lucky guy. I got a nice job. But I'm trying. Because the last thing I want to do is have people who enjoy this show go, I can't take it anymore.
But
there's a responsibility to talk about it. And finding that balance sometimes is difficult.
Yeah. And the top six at six is coming up as well, too.
No, I'm too tired to do it.
We have a
now.
Couple of those falsehoods, I believe.
Lies.
Being.
They're not falsehoods, they're lies.
False. Yeah, those lies.
That's not me popping off. When I hear falsehood, I lose my mind, too, because that's the rest
of
this.
It's a nice way to say lie.
That's journalists being decent to a guy who's never decent. So it's 6:18. Mitch McConnell, good God, be a man. What is wrong with you? Ridiculous.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Men.
All right, there's a story that once again brings home the travesty of the gun violence in this town. 3 days after the fatal shooting of a 64-year-old math teacher in Rogers Park, several hundred residents gathered around the Morse Avenue L station last night, summoned by community leaders, everybody looking for answers. Cynthia Trevelyan?
Yes, Cynthia Trevelyan. She was a teacher at the Waldorf School.
Right, and we have someone here whose daughter was close to her and in her class and has just gone off to college, who had to find out from a friend and on social media, and is just crushed by this because of what a great teacher she was and how much she meant to her. This is a husband and wife that are just walking down the street, mm-hmm. and we've seen this story before with little kids, with older folks, whatever, where some punk 15, 16, 17-year-old gangbanger who can't shoot straight doesn't shoot the other gangbanger he's shooting at, shoots an innocent person. Mm-hmm. And this teacher was shot in the head and died shortly thereafter, while her husband was standing next to her near the Morris Station Red Line.
It's absolutely awful. The funeral's today. The school has canceled classes, obviously, because for all the students and teachers to attend. And there's a You Caring site that's raised already more than $27,000 for funeral expenses.
I don't know about You Caring. Is that another version?
It's kind of like a GoFundMe. Yeah.
Okay. So YouCaring.com if people want to look it up.
Yeah, and if you click on You Caring, just go to Cynthia Trevelyan or John Trevelyan because he has set it up.
Trevelyan.
Yes.
President Trump and Mitch McConnell held a joint press conference yesterday. One thing that came out of it was a display of togetherness, fake or real. The two men emphasized a mutual desire to fill literally scores of federal court vacancies to start filling jobs that need to be filled. That's one thing that was front and center yesterday. And President Trump falsely asserted yesterday that his predecessors, particularly Barack Obama, hadn't contacted the families of American troops killed in duty. This is beyond offensive, not because of anybody's fandom for Bush or Obama or Clinton before him. The fact is, you, President Trump, have failed in your duty as commander-in-chief to provide any comfort, sympathy, empathy, basically human decency to the families of these four special operators who were killed in Niger. You pick up the phone, you call them, and you tell them you're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And you you salute the sacrifice they made for this country. It's not part of your job. It's front and center. It is your job. And you cannot pull out the same pathological lying BS that you do with everything else, especially for this. Why he lies is too long of a discussion. But in this case, be a man. Stand, for God's sakes, be a man. Take responsibility for the fact that you are the commander-in-chief, and it's 10 days almost, you haven't even referenced the fact that these four men died. And yesterday when you're questioned about it, you want to try to take some sort of credit that you're sending out a letter yesterday or today? How am I doing with not losing it over this?
A former aide to President Obama called that statement deranged, and George W. Bush's spokesman said clearly the former president called or met with hundreds, if not thousands, of family members of those killed in war.
It's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Next. Governor Rauner's administration is going to go to the bond market today. This is a big deal, kids. He plans to borrow $6 billion in the coming days. To help pay down nearly $16 billion in bills the state owes to scores of businesses, large and small. And because we're deadbeat Illinois, you can imagine the rates we're going to get. This isn't something you can swing by Hochberg's office for. This is $6 billion. Though Hochberg should have been put in charge of this a long time ago, he would have fixed it by now.
By the way, interest on that, minimum 12% a year.
Those are like loan shark rates.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Next. And we've earned it. We've earned it. I didn't even know this was going on. There's a controversy in the Halloween costume field, as there is every year. But apparently retailers, many retailers, have been selling Anne Frank costumes. Nobody saw this problem coming?
Nobody's been doing this?
Nobody thought this was a bad idea?
This is a new thing, or it's been going on?
I didn't realize it had been going on, but it's certainly a thing that's happened this year. Many retailers have pulled, many, not all apparently, but many retailers have pulled the Anne Frank Halloween costume. The company, ironically called Fun Costumes, says that it's been blown out of context. It's a costume that would be used for school projects as well. They say they've removed the costume from their website, but you just called it up. It's right there.
I just popped it up. Unless this has been, this was a screenshot this morning. Yeah.
So you can no longer get the Anne Frank costume, which is good. And by the way, I know this, Halloween's turned into an adult holiday. We don't need a bunch of Harvey Weinstein costumes this year either.
Oh, jeez. You know you're going to see that. Of course they are.
Of course they are. And finally this. The greatest fireworks show in the universe right now, Steve Grzanich, is just giddy as a schoolgirl because astronomers are excited. It was announced yesterday that they observed a pair of dead stars colliding, the first glimpse of the violent process in which most of the gold and the silver in the universe was created. That same process has been repeated in the universe again and again and again. But, Steve, you've lived to see two dead stars crash into each other. Well, Grzanich is so excited he can't even speak. It's just, you know, his microphone's on. Yeah. But I thought it was good. I thought the segment was solid. I thought we really nailed it. All right, we'll come back in just a moment on 720 WGN, which you just heard, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential. Make the world a better place through service in the spirit of that. Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative is where you can help us recognize a kid that goes above and beyond for their community. Nominate a youth for the Allstate Kid of the Week. It's a kid you know or maybe just heard about that could be featured here on the Steve Cochran Show with great prizes. Show number 1011, by the way, including an Amazon gift card and Lou Malnati's Pizza. It's funny now because I've been doing Kid of the Week here since 2000, except for when I got fired and I left. Because, mm-hmm. You know, when you get fired, you should leave. It's awkward if you keep coming in.
Yeah.
But I'm starting now to run into young adults.
Yes.
Who go, hey, Mr. Cochran, you know, and I still, Steve, okay, Mr., I'm old enough.
My goddaughter was one of your kids of the week. She still says Mr. Cochran. Yeah.
I get it all the time. I ran into a kid the other day who was a kid of the week. He's in college.
I know.
Damn, I'm old.
Right?
But anyway, the point of this is one of our previous kids of the week is a football star. What's the story?
Ace Henry. Remember Little Ace? Big fan. Well, I know now he's not little anymore.
As his father.
He started out playing in not the Pee Wee softball team, but the Pop Warner. His dad, Bill Henry, is the coach. Good friend of ours. Good friend of the
show. Junior football stuff.
Yeah, so Ace and Henry, but we call him Ace, of course. He was quarterback. He was wide receiver. He's worked his way up. His team won the regionals. Now he has been selected. Little Ace, no longer little. He's going to be one of the only Chicago kids playing wide receiver on the international football team next year. So he's going to be representing the USA in January in Dallas, Texas, in Arlington.
How cool is that?
At Arlington.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, so congrats to Ace.
Nice job, Ace. That kid's going to get drafted in about 2 years when he's 13. And go to WGNradio.com/contest. Submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18. Y'all think ought to be the Allstate Kid of the Week. And then tune in every Tuesday to hear great young people like Megan Bug. Good morning to you, Megan.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for being on. What grade are you in now?
I'm a junior.
Junior? This is a big year.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
How are your grades? Pretty good?
Yeah, they're good. I'm going to school when I can through treatment, but it's going well.
Let's tell your story here a little bit. You sound great today. Are you feeling pretty good this morning?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's great. You were diagnosed December of 2015 with something called stage 4. I'm not even going to try. You tell me what it's called.
Alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma.
It's a very rare form of cancer, right?
It is, yeah. It's a tissue cancer.
And it's pretty aggressive, and it's very dangerous. Now, you're in the midst of chemo now again?
Yes, I have 4 weeks left.
This is not how you planned on spending your junior year. How are you keeping your upbeat attitude?
You know, well, I always think of that things could be worse. You know, I've had friends who have died from this, and I know kids at my hospital right now who have it worse. And, you know, I mean, complaining is not going to get you anywhere, so you just have to fight the battle. And with a good attitude, which I try to keep, I know I'm going to win.
Well, I'm telling you, and as your life goes on and you get to be an old lady and a mom and a grandmom someday, that's just such a great message to pass along. And I know how much your dad, Kent, has been writing about you and stuff, but you must have a pretty amazing family that helped teach you that message.
For sure. They helped me so much. I couldn't do it without them.
So in the midst of this treatment at Lurie's Children's Hospital, somewhere between your diagnosis and now the light bulb goes off and you go, well, I want to help other people. So what'd you do?
Okay, so I started thinking of ways to fund for childhood cancer.
Right, fund the research, find a cure.
Exactly. So we started doing things at my school, like we had a Team Megan volleyball night to raise money. And then I would just like raise money on my own somehow, and people would donate to me. And then I teamed up with a brand called Ivoryella, and they let me come out to Rhode Island, and I designed a shirt, and 10% of each shirt goes to Boston Children's Hospital to help research. So those shirts have sold out many, many times, which is amazing.
And could we go to the Ivoryella website now, or are they reloaded, or do we know?
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. We got to buy shirts today.
Absolutely.
And in addition to that, what's the Megan Bug concert series?
So the concert series, we bring in someone probably like 2 or 3 times a year, and they perform for our community, and that money goes back to the auditorium because I love theater, and it's something that I'm really interested in and that I care about, and I want our auditorium to be as great as possible so that we can continue to do shows. And it's really fun. I get to meet the people, and they're always so nice and caring, and it's really, really fun time.
Megan, you're a big volleyball fan. Talk a little bit about Kelly Bates and how she got involved with you. I know she's a big Wisconsin Badger volleyball star.
Right. So my mom actually knows her mom because my mom's been a teacher, and she's been following my story from the beginning, and there's always been so many people following it, so I never really knew. And especially, like, I was so sick at the time, I sometimes just didn't really realize what was going on almost. But so her mom reached out to us because my sister goes to the University of Wisconsin, and she was like, hey, you should come down for a volleyball game. Kelly would love to meet you. So we got to come to a volleyball game, and we got to meet Kelly, and she was so sweet and caring, and she's just a really, really great person.
I love your attitude, and I love your fight, and I have nothing but faith in you, and I can certainly tell how much faith you have in yourself, but the fact that you're caring for everybody along the way is nothing short of amazing. And at your age, what is 16, 17? How old are you?
16.
Yeah, 16 years old. 16 years old, with the rest of us, you know, driving into work this morning, complaining about this, complaining about that. Hear Megan's words. Somebody always has it worse, you know?
Right.
So think about them.
Megan, I have to say, you look good in that Badger red. Maybe go Big Ten for you in a couple years.
Thank you.
Well, Dave would like you to go to Northwestern. Andrea is recruiting for
Illinois.
I'm okay. But you went to the football game too, right?
Yeah, I went to a little bit of the football game, but it was raining, and I didn't want to sit in the rain the whole time, so I came towards the end when it stopped raining. But when I got there, it rained again.
That's a spectacle up there, football games.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. All right.
It's such a beautiful campus.
In the midst of taking care of everybody else, keep taking care of yourself. Find some fun in the process as well. I know you do, and I know you will, and just we're thinking about you, and tell your dad to stay in touch with us and let us know how you're doing.
I will. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for getting up and doing this. We appreciate it. Really an inspiration. And if people want to contribute to help, where do they go?
They can go to my dad's blog and contact my dad.
MeganBugsJourney.wordpress.com, right?
Yeah. A lot of pictures,
yes.
too. Yeah.
Yeah, some great pictures there. And also you can go to ivoryella.com/collections. And I'm sure there's a search button there that you can hit for Megan Bug. Megan Bug, you're my hero. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much.
All right, don't hang up now because we have to give you the prizes, which I have right here because I am always the most organized guy in the room.
As someone who is a proponent of online shopping, we need to buy some of these T-shirts.
Did you find them already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Done?
They're already in my shopping cart.
An app gift card. I'm sorry, an Amazon gift card. We'll give her an app gift card as well. An Amazon gift card and some Lou Malnati's for her as well and her family.
Nice.
What do you say? Kid's 16 years old, going through the fight of her life, and she already knows somebody's always got it worse than you. Complaining's not going to do any good. Be positive. Help other people. Any grown-ups listening this morning? How about you make that part of your day today?
I'm going to buy two T-shirts.
All right, 6:54 now. Coming up later on in the program, this 1,011th edition. We'll do the match game at least once, maybe twice. Elise Glink will be on talking about some money. Kelty Knight, one of the lead pop culture gurus at Entertainment Tonight, will be on. Coach Q will be on. Coach Q loves the entertainment shows. He's all about it, you know. You get into a conversation with Coach Q about the Kardashians, he goes on and on and on. Enough of the Chloe. What line changes are you going to make? Match game, as I said, Wang Dang Doodle results later. And still other things do come. And plenty of free parking, always on the Steve Cochran Show. You know, we could use some laughs, John. We could use some laughs in our life. John Acosta is here. You and I are doing some stand-up comedy next week.
Oh, I can't wait.
Where are we going to be?
We are going to be at Zany's Pheasant Run.
Go slow so I can write this down. Zany's Pheasant Run
on the 27th. That's a Friday night one show. You, me, Mike Toomey from WGN Morning Television Show.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Mike Toomey. First off, he's embezzling from the company.
But yes, we just found that out.
It's not important to this story. Mike Toomey is the best stand-up you've ever seen that's not a huge star with his own sitcom.
Could not
agree
more.
He just was born to do stand-up. He's great on TV, but he is a phenomenal stand-up comedian. And I'll tell you what, when we do these shows, this drives John crazy. I will not follow him.
He won't close the show.
Oh my God.
I will
it's
not
gotta
follow
be to me.
The first time my mom saw him and the first time I did stand up with you guys was the same show, and my mom came up there after and said, Mike Toomey, he was the best one.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I went, really? And she goes, oh, well, John and Steve were great too.
That's funny because
really?
your mom told me I was the best.
And your mom told me that Steve was the best.
Yeah.
But we love Toomey. And for people that go, oh, yeah, I see him on TV. No, you got to see him on stage.
You have to see him on stage.
Yeah. So that's Friday. What time?
Friday night, 8 o'clock. That's the three of us. Come out and see us. Come out and meet us after the show. It's wonderful. And then the next
We'll follow you to your car.
That's the thing.
We'll follow you to your car. We'll pull your car around.
I was going
to
say, I will be valet parking that night. So whatever I can do to help.
Okay.
The very next night, we'll be in Rosemont at Zany's in Rosemont. Early show. And that's with Tim Cavanaugh.
Tim Cavanaugh, one of the funniest and nicest guys you'll ever meet. Another guy that was just born to do stand-up. He's the song guy. He's the guy that's going to be on next week singing. He's going to be on the show next week singing some of his songs.
Next Tuesday we'll have him on. It's wonderful.
Hey,
we haven't had him
Tim,
on in a couple
sounds
of years.
Like
so
fun. No, I don't like him personally.
No, I know. You said that.
No, he's great. He's great. So we're looking forward to it. Now, we've made a strategic decision here, and I'm not sure it's the right one, but it's made. We're going to do this show next week early because we figured that Saturday night of Halloween weekend, people are going to parties.
Yeah.
So we're doing an early show so you can come out. You can still go to your Halloween party. Now, if you show up in a costume, we'll charge you the regular price and we'll make fun of you.
Right.
So that's the bonus we have.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Huge.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah. So that's the upset for wearing a costume. If you wear a costume to Zany's Rosemont, we will rip you and you get to pay the regular price. So you got that going.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So that's 5:30?
It's actually 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
I know. I had to double check that because the next show is at 7. We are 4 o'clock. So here's the good part about that. We will be done by 5:30. There are 6 restaurants right there.
Yeah.
Grab a bite to eat. It's
and then go
right
to your
before
party.
And yeah. go. It's ideal. Yeah, and then
you actually, load up before you liquor
should
up.
Be fine. So
yeah.
to get those tickets, zanysfeasantrun.com. That's for Friday with Mike Toomey, and then zanysrosemont.com Saturday. You mean
how much
Tim
does
Kavanaugh.
The wait staff hate me that we're doing a 4 o'clock show?
No, actually, they're quite pleased because they're okay. They do. They hate both of us.
All right, so zanies.com for either show.
Yes, yeah. correct. Yeah, can't wait. Come out and meet us. Come out and see us.
It'll be great, back to back. And if you want to see both shows, I want you to know that they'll pretty much be the same.
Yeah,
except for
Tim and Mike
Kavanaugh.
Will be different.
Yeah.
Is there
yeah.
a deal like a special? So if you go to both,
yes.
you can pay
yes.
the regular price.
If you go to both, you pay the regular price,
and we'll make fun of you.
Wear, oh, great. Okay.
And more so if you wear a costume. So you got that going for you. Couple of minutes before 7:00. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
So in love with you.
I know you didn't do this just to win an election. I know you didn't do it for me. You did it because you understand the enormity of the task that lies ahead.
But my main message is to the parents of Trayvon Martin. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. They had their entire lives ahead of them. Birthdays, graduations, weddings, kids of their own. Among the fallen were also teachers, men and women who devoted their lives to helping our children fulfill their dreams. So our hearts are broken today.
One of the worst days in this country's history. Or the aftermath of one of the worst days in this country's history. The last clip you saw, or you heard, from Newtown. What's it like to write for the president? What's it like to do it when you're 24? David Litt was there for most of it. Saw the good and the bad. Saw a lot of funny. Saw some really tough stuff, too. Thanks, Obama! My hopey, changey White House years. It's a bestseller, and David joins us from New York. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Congrats on the success of the book.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been really it's been really nice. It's funny. You write a book and you sort of hope people will read it, and they seem to be reading it. It's a really nice feeling.
It's a good thing to have that as part of the process, because if you write a book and nobody reads it, why did I write the book?
Right. Well, and it is, you know, it's you write a book mostly for yourself. Even a book like this that is about somebody that obviously we all sort of know in some way or another, but it is, anyway, it's just been a great feeling.
How do you get the gig at 24?
Well, honestly, I, in a lot of ways, fell backwards into speechwriting, like a lot of speechwriters do. I was one of those college kids in 2008 who was not sure what they wanted to do, and then I was inspired by one of Barack Obama's speeches. It was the speech he gave after he won the Iowa caucuses in 2008. Okay. And that's why I decided to go into politics. I wouldn't have put it that way at the time, but I volunteered on my campus, and then I drove to Ohio, and I worked as a field organizer, and I ended up getting a job in Washington at a private sector speechwriting firm, and then that turned into Valerie Jarrett, the president's senior advisor, needed a speechwriter. They had been looking, hadn't found somebody, and they basically said, hey, you have good references. You know, if you want, you'd be the only applicant for this job. You want to come work in the White House? I was like, yeah, I could do that. You know, twist my arm a little bit.
So there was no formal sit down with the president interview process at any point, just to at least give you the thumbs up that, yeah, you can be one of my guys?
Well, my first job at the White House was with Valerie and with other senior staff. So I started, you know, I interviewed with Valerie. I talk about in my book sort of how scared I was, because I had never been in the White House at all before. And then Mike Strautmanis, Valerie's chief of staff, said, all right, well, let's see if she's free right now. So before I knew it, we're in the West Wing, and I was talking to Valerie, who was very nice. But I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe that I'm here, let alone interviewing for a job.
Two words, back and sweat. Back sweat.
Exactly. It was the only upside to it, I suppose, was I didn't really fully have time to think through how bizarre. But I ended up getting the job. And so when I got to the White House, I sort of slowly began to write for President Obama. So for a couple of years, my White House was someone else or the president, you know, littler things. And then over time, I moved over and rode on his team full time.
He's a, you know, we know Valerie Jarrett, and we know the president from his pre-presidential days here a little bit. And he's a funny guy, but he's not a funny guy. Yet he's got amazingly strong comedic timing. But I was interested to see in your book, not so much in rehearsals. Was he one of these guys that overthinks it and didn't trust the line? And did that drive you crazy?
No, actually, I thought in rehearsals, what I wanted to write about was how sometimes I used one example of a taping we were doing where the first time through he would miss a word. You know, he would, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. He might emphasize the wrong thing.
Right.
What really stuck out to me was how quickly he would then figure out what was the essence of a joke and be able to execute on that. So the second time through, it was like he had been rehearsing for days. And that, I thought, was one of these glimpses. You know, that's not a big, not consequential when it comes to a joke, but that it was a glimpse into this aspect of who President Obama is and who he was that you saw in other things that he did. So that ability to zero in on the most important part of anything, whether it's a joke or a policy memo, block out the distractions and just execute on that thing, I think is a quality that ran throughout his presidency, but that I got to see in this sort of slightly angled way because I was working on the jokes.
David Litt, thanks, Obama. My hope he changed your White House years. And by the way, David is now the big dog at Funny or Die D.C. That's Funny or Die. I mean, come on. I don't care how bad your day is. Go to Funny or Die. It'll lighten up.
David, good morning. I love your job. I find it so fascinating. I want to know, what's the first thing, aside from knowing your audience, what's the first thing you do when you sit down to start writing a script? Do you know ahead of time you're going to insert some humor, where you're going to put it, or does it kind of, is it organic and just kind of flows and then you think halfway through, well, I'm going to put something funny here?
Yeah, I think the way that jokes work in a more serious script or a more serious speech is almost like they re-engage the audience's attention. I mean, you mentioned knowing your audience. I do think it's important to always be putting yourself in the audience's shoes. So if you've sat through remarks, you almost always have that moment after 2 minutes, even if you're appreciating what's being said, where like you start to fade a little bit. And just, it doesn't have to be a setup and a punchline, but just something warm and funny that gets people laughing a tiny bit is enough to bring them back and reset that attention clock. And I think that's one of the themes throughout the book, is the way that our attention spans have gotten smaller and smaller, and there's more things competing for our attention than ever before. So humor turns out to be a really good way of seizing people's attention, even when there's a lot of competition out there.
As a scriptwriter, as a speechwriter, does it bother you when, say, the president goes off script?
Just do the jokes, man!
Right.
No, it depends on the president, I suppose. This president, when he goes off script, it's a little distressing. That's putting it mildly. President Obama, what was night? I mean, when he would go off script, I talk about in the book that he would have this like little pause where you could tell he was thinking about it, and then he would do it. And almost always, that was the best part of the speech. Like, he would say something off the cuff, and then people later would be like, "Hey, did you write that?" And I'd be like, "Oh, I worked on the speech." And kind of dodge the question a little bit. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in 2011, you were there for the correspondents' dinner the night before we got bin Laden, yes?
Yes.
You could also make the argument that, see where I'm setting David up here. You could also make the argument, as many have, that that's the night that Donald Trump decided, no matter what it took and how many lies it would take, he would go after Obama to the end of his days and he would run for president. Or at least put it under the disguise of, you know, plugging The Apprentice and all of that. But the bottom line here, David, is did you write that speech, which went after Trump hard, and therefore can we blame you for Trump?
Well, actually, I had a couple of jokes in that speech, but that year I had just been at the White House for about 4 weeks. And so John,
no excuse, young man. If it's your fault, it's your fault.
No. I'll get into it. I don't think we can blame it. I don't think we can blame him either. I think the thing that we forget looking back on that is Trump had been on this birtherism tour for you know, for like months, weeks already. So if he had thrown his hat into the ring, he had stepped into the arena before President Obama made fun of him. My theory is that it wasn't so much that Trump wanted revenge; it was that Trump was jealous. He was like, "Here's this guy getting all this love." And I think if there's one thing Trump has always wanted, it's love from, you know, Hollywood and D.C. and New York elites. And that's the room that was in the Correspondents' Center. And he was like, oh, if I'm the guy behind that podium, everyone's going to love me too, which, of course, is not how that works. But he didn't know that at the time.
There's a club. There's an informal club called the President's Club. It's the smallest, most exclusive club in the world. But there's also a club of former chiefs of staff. Is there a club of former speechwriters? Have you spoken to any of the Trump speechwriters? And how do you write for this guy?
So there's a club of former speechwriters. I have to say, I don't know whether the Trump team is in it or not, because I think they have a very different approach toward speechwriting. But I haven't spoken to any of them. And, you know, obviously, if they reached out and said, what do you think I should do? I mean, the first thing I would say is I would recommend quitting.
Right.
Because not so much because President Trump is not a good public speaker in the way that President Obama was, where he'll, you know, he can't hold a thread and pay attention. But I think the bigger thing is, if you're a speechwriter, you're a public servant first and a writer second. And so you have to have a set of lines that you won't cross and that you won't work for someone who crosses those lines. And I think after, moments like Charlottesville and many others, at least for me personally, President Trump has already crossed so many of those lines that I don't think you can be complicit in that. I just don't think it's worth it.
Last question. It's more serious one, I suppose. And again, it's David Litt. Thanks, Obama, is the book. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose one. Then you'll have a backup. The process itself sort of fascinates me, because there are times when the president needs a speech immediately. So how big is the team, and how do you put together something that's needed in an hour?
So the team in the Obama White House, there were about eight of us, two working on foreign policy, six working on domestic policy. For a sort of big speech that's needed very quickly, the president would work with the chief speechwriter, who is Jon Favreau in my first few years there, and then Cody Keenan in my sort of second half of my time at the White House. Something quick you put together, it's one of the things that distinguishes White House speechwriting from other speechwriting. It's not so much can you do the job better than as many of your peers as you can. It's more can you do the job as well but faster and under more pressure. And so that's the distinguishing factor, I think, that separates really good White House speechwriters from speechwriters who may be just as good but wouldn't necessarily be the right fit for that kind of job.
Interesting. Greatest line you never read?
Oh, man. Well, in the...
And I'm talking about a line you wrote, obviously.
There was one that I kept trying to pitch him on. It was a joke involving Rand Paul and decriminalized marijuana in D.C. and a 13-hour filibuster on the subject of whether or not the Taco Bell is still open. And I continue to think this is funny. The split is like 30% of the people I've run this by think it's funny. President Obama was clearly in the other 70%, and also he's the president. So, we didn't end up putting that line in the speech.
Yeah, by the way, I think it is in the book, right? Am I remembering that section right?
I think that one isn't, but there's a few others that are jokes we tried that didn't work quite as well.
And the weird thing is, I saw Rand Paul at a Taco Bell last night.
Yeah. Right in the
there you go.
Yeah. Congrats on your success. It's pretty amazing. And everybody go to Funny or Die DC, where David Litt runs a shop there. And you guys are doing great work there. And boy, we could use a laugh out of Washington. And good luck with the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Sponsored by Grandview Homes, it's my friend Elise Glick. I'm going to go here now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, how did the contest work out? Did you win the Vegas contest?
We came in third in the country, which was very exciting. I should say third globally out of 160 people.
Well, let's say third intergalactically.
Yes, let's.
Yeah, well, that's impressive.
Well, thank you.
Yes. All right, now, look, you are the proud owner of a very successful small business. When the president decided to sign another executive order changing the health insurance plan for the future again in unknown ways, what does that do to a small business?
Well, it made me really happy that we already signed our contract for our 2018 healthcare plan, which only had an increase in our premiums of about 28%.
That was prior to?
That was prior to, and, wow. and we were swallowing that. The next thing up is probably, for anybody who didn't do that, because our plan starts December 1st, if you're on the next round, which starts in January, then you're probably going to see an even higher premium.
There were several moments in the president's press conference with his manservant, Mitch McConnell, yesterday that were really appalling. But one that really hasn't gotten much play is this Obamacare thing. When the president of the United States, for political reason, is screaming that Obamacare is dead 2 to 3 weeks before open enrollment starts at almost every company in the country, it's beyond irresponsible. It's it ought to be criminal.
It should be criminal, which, you know, but let's add it, not just that he's standing there and acting like that, which is ridiculous and offensive to everybody who really depends on health insurance for their lives, but it's also ridiculous that he has cut 90% the money that's spent to promote the open enrollment season. We all get busy and we kind of forget that you have to do it within a three-week period, so 90% of that money went away. That means you won't be getting the reminder emails or the information on how to do it again or, you know, driven back there or reminded even that your plan is ending. So that's problematic. And then, of course, the nonsense about just cutting all the subsidies where, you know, here's what's interesting to me, Steve. I watch the news at night, frighteningly, grabbing the sheets, and I see how any time there's somebody who's knowledgeable about something, right? They tend to get moved into a place where they have no expertise. All right, so we're getting rid of all of our experts. But then when it comes to and then he listens to all the people who he claims are experts, right? And then it comes to something like this healthcare thing where everybody in the universe of healthcare, from the insurers to the doctors to the nurses to the unions, everybody's in alignment that what he's doing to the Affordable Care Act is just horrible, and yet he's doing that anyway. So, you know, there just seems to be certain areas where nobody listens to all of the big business people, whereas in other areas you only listen to big business. Isn't that interesting?
And how are you supposed to figure out that minefield? The problem, regardless of where you land politically, on gutting Obamacare from the inside out is it is the existing law of the land. And there is nothing that is going to be rewritten, redeveloped, or put into play in the next 30 to 45 days that's going to change that. So for that reason, real people, real families, real Americans have to decide what they're doing for health care in the world of Obamacare. And the president's responsibility needs to be not to get a political win, but to actually shut the hell up and support the system as it exists until there's a reason or a mechanism to change it. Because he's spiking the football before he even has it in his hand.
Yeah, I don't know what a win translates into other than, you know, something disastrous for all of us. You know, when you're only engaged in a war of words, or in the case of North Korea, a war of arms, where that just gets ratcheted up every morning, it doesn't really do the average person any good. And until, you know, his base or what he perceives as being his base starts to realize that they're actually getting their legs literally cut out from under them, I'm not sure that anything will change. And we've still got 3+ years left.
It's not going to last. Congressman Tom Marino, this is breaking news, kids. Congressman Tom Marino has informed the president he's withdrawing his name from consideration as drug czar. President tweeted, Tom is a fine man and a great congressman. This on the heels of some great reporting. It's not fake news, kids. It's real news. In the Washington Post in 60 Minutes on Sunday that revealed Marino to be one of the chief proponents of a bill and a law that gutted the fight against opioid overprescription and distribution. And he was going to be the drug czar. Thank goodness 60 Minutes and Washington Post shut it down before it had to be something that was much more difficult to contain. Tom Marino not going to be the drug czar. That's the news piece. All right, anything else floating in the money world?
Interest rates are going up, and there was you may have talked about this last week when I was in Las Vegas, but the Social Security Office announced that seniors are going to get their biggest increase in a long time, a whopping 2%. But that's still the biggest increase in a long time, and that translates into inflation is actually rising. So So, you know, one of the things, I'll take you back 10 years, and when we went into the Great Recession, the Republicans were all, oh, we're going to have hyperinflation, hyperinflation. They were predicting inflation at about 11%. What's happened in 10 years is we've stayed under 2% and oftentimes under 1% for inflation. And you want some inflation. What you don't want is stagnation or stagflation, or and you don't want, you know, collapse of the economy. But what's happening now is it does seem to be inflation is accelerating, and so the mortgage interest rates have started to rise, and which is bad for affordability for people. But we're also seeing, on the other side, seniors are going to get a little bit of a boost this year, starting in January, in their paychecks from the government.
That's a good thing, even only at 2%.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so if people want to follow you, Elise, and I don't mean that is, you know, in any way other than professionally, they go to thinklink.com?
They can go to thinklink.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I always am happy to do that. You'll read a little bit more about Best Money Moves and what we're doing there to help people who are stressed financially. You don't know anybody stressed financially, do you, Steve?
I do. I've heard of a couple, yes.
One or two.
Yes.
Right, so we're trying to help those people. So you can read about it there or at thinklink.com.
And congratulations on your company's success.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
It should be. All right, 7:50. We'll come back, and we'll do the match game. I don't know how we're going to do this, because Channel 9 has asked us to participate in a television thing here, and yet we need to do the match game as well. So here's what I'm going to do. I've got some important sound on the heels of what just happened. We'll hold the match game for a couple of segments, and that'll allow us to accomplish a couple of things here. And we'll come back and play some of the sound from yesterday while you were working when Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell addressed the nation. And by that, I mean Donald Trump addressed the nation. It's 7:50, back after this with that. It is 7:55. The California wildfires continue, and another major California city is under threat this morning. Is it Santa Cruz? I think it was Santa Cruz, where the fires are bearing down on Santa Cruz now after Santa Rosa was hit so hard a week ago, as we continue to watch that. Meanwhile, yesterday the president held a press conference, impromptu, but then answered questions for about 45 minutes with Mitch McConnell standing next to him after he and Mitch McConnell had lunch. We don't know what they had, a little KFC, a little Taco Bell. We don't know. We don't know. But Trump taking a lot of heat for this statement where he claims, well, listen.
The toughest calls I have to make are the calls where this happens. Soldiers are killed. For me, that's by far the toughest. So the traditional way, if you look at President Obama and other presidents, most of them didn't make calls. A lot of them didn't make calls. I like to call when it's appropriate, when I think I'm able to do it.
I'm not sure what he's talking about, because he's not sure what he's talking about. It's a lie. It's just an absolute lie. He knows he didn't do it. He knows that he should have done it. He was caught in the lie. Later in the day, when it was brought up to him, he said, well, that's what people told me, that they didn't make calls. No, it's a lie. It's not a falsehood. It's not a misstatement. It's just simply a lie. Nobody that I'm aware of wants to pick up the phone and call the family of a dead soldier that gave his or her life for this country. But as commander-in-chief, it's one of the most important aspects of your job. Man up, Mr. President. Mitch McConnell standing next to the president after the president has been ripping him for a long time. It seems the lunch went really well, if you believe POTUS. Listen.
We just spent quite a bit of time inside with the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, who has been a friend of mine for a long time, long before my world of politics, early into his world of politics, I think. But we've been friends for a long time. We are probably now, despite what we read, we're probably now, I think, at least as far as I'm concerned, closer than ever before. And the relationship is very good. We're fighting for the same thing.
This is like the old joke from Saturday Night Live. Why do you people continue to put my words on TV that I said? Why do you continue to say on the radio what I said? Why do you continue to put in print what I said? Despite what I read, what you read is what you said. You've been ripping McConnell forever. So he says they're closer than ever before. In the same speech, with a Republican leader of the Senate standing next to him, about Congress's inaction, Trump said this.
We're not getting the job done. And I'm not going to blame myself, I'll be honest. They are not getting the job done. We've had health care approved, and then you had a surprise vote by John McCain. We've had other things happen, and they're not getting the job done.
They're just getting along great. Dave, they've never been closer. They're just tight.
Unbelievable.
They're thick as thieves. 7:58, we're back with the news coming up in just a moment on 720 WGN. Our friend Annabelle! is in the room. I've tried to say your name without yelling. I can't do it.
Jared Payton can't impossible. Do it either.
It's just impossible.
I know. I brought a friend.
Well, this is a legend. This isn't
it is.
Just a
yeah.
friend.
The woman, the legend, Swery Mary is
Woo!
Here.
Swery Mary.
I'm going to turn your microphone on, but you know the problems we have, Swery Mary.
Microphones? You don't have microphones at work?
No, we're just concerned.
This is WGN.
Ride the dump button. Swery Mary's in the house.
Oh, wow. Wow.
How famous are you now, by the way?
Not at all.
She's very famous at Marshall's and TJ Maxx.
But you have made her a legend.
No,
and
I
you have learned
in
new
Wilson
words.
In Wilson and in Humboldt Park.
Yes.
But I believe that you have taught new words
I
that
have.
She didn't even know that she can
I
now
have.
Use in front of her children and husband at home.
In
it's
the
true.
English language. It's true.
Yes.
She helps
yes.
me with prepositions and cussing.
And attitude.
And attitude. Yeah. It really is. You know, great cursing takes the proper attitude. I'm going to be honest. You got to have some oomph behind it. And I don't know, Swery Mary, I think you have a gift.
I believe I do, too. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
by the way,
there.
We all just were outside dancing for pizza. Mm-hmm. Just
yeah,
so
what are you doing
know.
Downtown? Do you do a little Cubs rally?
Yes, we're at Pioneer Court, and for the first time in 12 years, we're actually giving away good stuff. You know, not like an old sock or, you know,
piece of cardboard.
An old mug.
You know what it is? It's Paul Rennie. Paul Rennie has changed that joint. And
I swear.
You got the good stuff now.
And our producer, Tom Barnes, who can get anything he wants.
Tom Barnes wants an intern here, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, thanks for reminding us.
Yeah.
we have free Lou Malnati's pizza, T-shirts, right. Cubs swag. The Tribune has given us the plate from the World Series, like copies of that.
It's cool.
What else, Mayor?
The World Series
w
trophy.
Flags, but you have to dance for it.
Yeah.
You
get
a picture of Larry Potash. Yeah.
On a
little
fan.
Fans.
And I'm saying you're also giving away the World Series trophy.
sure.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Tickets to all remaining games.
Absolutely.
Right. So all you got to do is come down. So on your way to work
gonna
this morning.
We're going to give those away after 10. Until
right.
10, we're going to give the T-shirts.
By the way, that's a great hat. I've not seen the white hat with the off-center
this
logo.
This was a freebie.
It's a cool hat.
I know. I went to a game. The first Cubs game my son went to.
Uh-huh.
These were the freebies.
I like that.
Cool.
And then they lost against the Brewers. Oh. And he said he was never going to come see the Cubs again. He's 4.
Well, yeah. You explained to him it's not his fault.
That's
I
what
hope.
I told him.
Yeah,
I said, you can't. They're not always going to win.
Yeah.
But listen, stop sending your people for pizza without dancing.
Oh, we did.
Well, I thought
we
they danced.
Dance.
Oh,
see,
wait
dance.
A minute.
How about
DeCoff wait
and
a
I
minute.
Salsa dancing? Come
not
on.
Only
that
did we
salsa?
Dance, I broke
I
dance.
Know.
And when I say that, I mean I broke my knee. That's
yeah,
what happened.
Did. I made him drop it like it's
yeah.
hot.
Oh, yeah.
She did.
Yeah,
I
and
think
I dropped
he may have just dropped it. I'm not sure he had to wait till it was hot. Yeah, I think that was probably it. Well, nice to see you guys.
Good nice to
Swery
see
Mary.
You.
Come on, bring it in. High five,
bring
Swery
in.
Mary.
Yes. You can see her at a Marshall's near you.
That's
any
right.
weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Yeah.
And follow you on Facebook for continuing updates about your home.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm doing some local stories, too, that have been airing at 4 p.m.
Right. And then she goes out and she's spunky.
Really?
It's 8:04. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN. Yeah, da, 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 da. Dean is still floating around. Where is he today? You've been keeping track of him.
He was in Corfu, and then he was on to Venice, I believe, Florence today.
Okay.
He's continuing with his Greek-Italian vacation.
Scheduled to be back on the show on Thursday, but I anticipate an international incident and an arrest. You know, you never know. I'm just saying. We are very pleased to have on the program this morning from Entertainment Tonight, Kelty Knight. Kelty, look, Kelty's got a trophy room filled with stuff with her name on it because she has done amazing work so far. Kelty, you okay? Were you just attacked by your microphone?
No, I don't know what that was, but I just heard the weather in Chicago. I'm so sorry. It's still 80 degrees in Los Angeles, so sorry, everyone.
It's going to warm up, though. It really is. It's 65-ish today after being in the high 30s, and we might even touch 70 again. So, yeah, it's whatever. All right, so entertain me. This is not an entertaining story. I apologize. Educate me. Where are we on Harvey Weinstein today?
Right, so today. today is the day that he's supposed to meet. He's going to call in from his treatment facility or private residence where he's getting treatment into the board, and they are going to discuss what the future is going to look like for Harvey Weinstein. And he also said, you know, basically that he's going to keep making movies with or without the Weinstein Company. It's going to be difficult, of course, but, you know, he is like Judge Judy, he said. You know, one of our sources said he can do the show for CBS, but if he wanted to go to NBC, he could go to NBC. So they're thinking that he's so powerful, he makes such great movies, he wins awards, that he'll still be able to make movies. We'll see. So we'll know by the end of the day if he's going to continue being a part of the Weinstein Company or if he's out for good.
And I understand a Weinstein Company may be sold or folded into another company. That's a pretty hot rumor, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, it's going to be very difficult moving forward for anyone to want to work with the Weinstein Company, whether or not Harvey Weinstein is a part of it or not. Just the name is so tarnished. So I've been speaking with a lot of people in Hollywood. I wouldn't be surprised if they change the name or they fold it into something else or they, you know, just make a big change for the future.
And American Idol, you were hanging out in New Orleans?
Oh, hey, I was in New Orleans. Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and Lionel Richie arrived on a Mardi Gras float, which was fabulous, and they held the auditions at Mardi Gras World, which was amazing. Has all the float pieces from the parade. And they seemed like they were in great spirits. I don't know how Katy does it. She's in the middle of her world tour right now. So she had literally performed Thursday, she performed Monday, and she was in New Orleans on that Saturday. And it was just crazy. The funniest thing was that I talked to Luke Bryan, who's, you know, very good friends with Blake Shelton, yep, who's over on The Voice, and I said, listen, there's got to be some brotherly competition here of who's going to find the next superstar. Let's make a bet. And Luke bet, you know, 45 acres, some horses, some of his country things to Blake that he would find the next superstar. So it's pretty good. Pretty big bet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we're in the middle of baseball bets here. We're going, okay, our bratwurst versus your beer. And we're talking about land betting, real estate.
No, it was land and horses and livestock.
It's unbelievable.
You know. Pretty good.
Alicia Vikander and Michael Fassbender got married. Listen, if they decide to have a family, that baby will be the best actor in the whole damn nursery. I love both of them.
I know. And you know, this is the part that's going to just warm your heart. They are lovely, lovely people.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Real life. You know, sometimes when you have a celebrity and you love them so much and you wonder, what are they really like? They are as sweet and as wonderful as you could imagine, but very private. I've sat down with her many times, and she just doesn't want to talk about her personal life. She's one of those people who's just so private about it. So I'm not surprised that they rode off into the sunset to have this little private marriage. And I hope they have lots of babies. They will be beautiful as well.
And they'll be really good actors and actresses. But right on the heels of that.
Yeah, Kelty, you've interviewed countless celebrities. We love you. We love your work. But I was so intrigued to read the one celebrity that you get starstruck around.
Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
Straight up. Now tell me. I don't know what it is. Straight up. I mean, oh my gosh. See, look, and I can't even talk about her because now I'm picturing her in my mind and then I lose it a little bit. Paula Abdul was the reason I wanted to be in show business. I danced around my living room when I was 9 years old to her records. And she's one of those people that when I stand in front of her, I have to remember, like, it's me. I made it. I got the dream job. I live in Los Angeles. I work on television, and I get to interview people like Paula Abdul. It just puts it really in perspective, and that doesn't happen with Jennifer Lawrence or Oprah or any of those other people. Paula Abdul makes me just sweat profusely. And
everybody's got one, but I'll tell you, I have a Paula Abdul story that, Kelty, I think you'd appreciate. Back in the early 90s,
I was
a disc jockey at a big radio station in Minneapolis called KDWB. We're one of the best in the country. And they fly me to Toronto to introduce Paula Abdul to concert and interview her backstage. I was like a 12-year-old. And that was when Paula Abdul was Paula Abdul. So she had a song. Kelty, you're going to have to help me out with this. But it was like Marry Me Boy or Will You Marry Me Boy? It wasn't one of her bigger hits. But anyway, sit in front row in Toronto, and she comes off stage and sat in my lap. Oh, hi, Paula. It's great to... I'm fine. Really, I'm fine. I mean, she was unbelievable.
Are you trying to make Kelty jealous? Come on.
No, I'm not trying to make her jealous. I'm just saying I was an embarrassing goofball around her.
No, did this happen before smartphones, right? So there's probably no video or Snapchat of it, which is just shocking.
Yes, in 92, this is when we were still chipping it out in concrete and running it from village to village.
The Polaroid camera, the film would come out, you'd have to dry it in the air.
Yeah.
I know.
And, you know, since then, she never calls, she never writes. And finally, Dancing with the Stars, who got bumped last night?
Oh, so sad. Gleb and Sasha went home, Sasha Pierce, of course, from Pretty Little Liars, and I saw her directly after she got eliminated, and she was crying backstage. It's so funny. This is a show, but people take it, becomes so emotional for these stars, right. And I really didn't think she was going to get kicked off. There were some other people that probably deserved it a little more. So she was shocked, and she's had an incredible journey. She's lost 37 pounds since the start of the show. It's only been 6, 8, or 8 weeks.
I'll tell you about the training, huh?
No, and what they do is Gleb does this Gleb's boot camp, and he does it on Instagram. So an hour of their rehearsal every day is just conditioning for her. So she's running around. She's lifting weight. I mean, it's just crazy. So, I mean, I felt really bad for her. You could tell that she didn't want it to be the end. But I'm really happy because Nick Lachey is my favorite, and he's still in the competition, even though he's not the greatest dancer. Ooh.
Hang on, Nick. Hang on. Mary Vandeveld, our resident dancer on staff, do you agree with the decision?
I didn't make it through the whole show, I have to say. But no, I think Nick should have been gone. I'm sorry.
I know.
He's just not good. Well, I don't think she was all that great either. So it was either going to be one of the two. Hmm. So they're both going to be gone anyway. So what's the difference?
Kelty, we love you. And where do we follow you on social media?
Oh, follow me at Kelty Knight, and please, please, please tune in to E.T.
All right, we will. Entertainment Tonight, the horse, the number one. I remember Entertainment Tonight when it first came on the air.
That was what, as young journalists, that's what we all wanted to work on Entertainment Tonight. She's great, though. She's a great interviewer, and she's fun.
I just wish she liked her job more. Go to zanies.com. Get tickets for either Pheasant Run or Rosemont next Friday and Saturday. John DeCoste and I have shows with Mike Toomey and Tim Cavanaugh, and we hope you can be there. All right, John, contestant number one is Danny.
Good morning, Danny.
Denny.
Oh, Denny, I'm sorry. Good morning, Denny. I love your restaurants.
Well, not mine, but thank you for letting me play.
You know, Grand Slam, baby. Okay, you ready?
I think
you and Denny so far have really good chemistry.
I know, I do. Yeah. And Denny, you know how to play, correct?
I believe so. It's just like the old...
Exactly. Exactly. So just fill in the blanks. See if we can match the celebrities. Here we go.
You got it.
A very short Steve Dale became so angry at a very tall Steve Bertrand, he punched him in the blank. Denny, your call.
Don't say it yet, Denny. Don't say it yet.
Yep, I will tell you when to give your answer, Denny. A very short Steve Dale became so angry at a very tall Steve Bertrand, he punched him in the blank.
Celebrities, y'all have your answers.
Yes, everybody's set.
Let's go.
Good.
Okay. Dave, we got to get Coach Q on eventually. So if you could just get your answer down.
Okay, he started. Denny, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to go with nose.
Nose.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
He definitely can't reach his nose.
All right. Yes. Nose. All right. Let's start with Dave, since he was the last one to put it in.
Now, this is Steve Dale.
Yes.
Punching Steve Bertrand.
Right. Yes. I said boxer.
Oh, so you did a dog reference.
In the boxer.
Clever.
Ah, that was actually clever. Yeah. That's very clever.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Andrea?
I said groin.
Groin?
Well, that's very direct.
Good. Yes. There we go.
That's just right to the point. All right. In a similar vein, I said puppies. He punched him right in his puppies.
Okay, same puppies. Yes, Mary?
He punched him in his puppies.
I said gut.
So, gut. Okay, gut. Very good. Very good. Gut? Mary Sandberg.
In his pocket.
Punched him in his
what?
You know what?
Well, because
like a
he's
pocket
short.
Puppy? That could be a dog.
Pocket puppy. Yes. And then Jake?
Right in the buttocks.
Buttocks.
Punched him in the butt.
That's good. Okay.
All right. So far, you guys are sticking with the plan.
That was actually not one match, Denny.
Relatively terrible answers.
But hang on.
I think Dave and I were the only ones who were creative.
That was good. Boxer was good.
Pocket. Oh, wait a second. Pocket is at his height.
Yes.
No. All right, Denny, hold on. We'll see if nothing wins.
Okay.
Let's go to Dennis. Denny and Dennis.
Wow. Okay. Dennis. Good morning, Dennis.
I'm sorry, Dennis, say again.
A longtime friend.
Well, thank you, Dennis.
An admirer, greatly.
Well, listen, I'm an admirer. All right, so John, what is the match that we have to do with Dennis?
Okay. I'm going to go with shoulder.
You might want to let me ask the question.
Actually, you have a different question.
This is a little out of whack here, so that's okay. Here we go. You have a totally separate question, Dennis, all right?
Got it.
I'm a big fan of yours, big friend. Here we go.
Yeah.
Steve Alexander is starring in a new movie called Dirty Harry 6, Nursing Home Cop. He goes around saying, go ahead, make my blank.
Ah, good one. Go ahead, make my... See, Dennis, they're in a nursing home.
Yes.
Go ahead, make my... All right.
Blank.
Steve? All right, I'm just going to go with...
No, don't go.
Wait, till the celebrities are done. I'll give you the okay.
Hang on, while the celebrities are doing that, I just want to lay in Wendy Snyder, who comes on at 10 a.m.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She said, punched him in the milk bone.
Oh, that's good. That's strong.
That is good.
That's strong. Yeah.
She wins. Okay.
All right, so Vandeveld, you ready?
Everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay, Steve Alexander is starring in a new movie called Dirty Harry 6, Nursing Home Cop. He goes around saying, go ahead, make my blank. Dennis? Answer.
Make my day.
Make my day.
Oh, so you went ahead with make my day. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Super creative, Dennis. Hold the line if you want.
It's going to go well. I can feel it.
Okay. Go.
Oh. Andrea?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, you want me to go?
Yes.
Please. Make my, going with Steve Alexander, right. Make my crop and critter. That's what he says.
What?
Hey, if you listen to the business reports, he talks about crops and critters. So you want to make his crop and
okay.
critter.
Okay, no, that's totally. Actually very good.
Oh, completely,
that's
yes. Next.
Okay, Dave?
Wait, do you like this game?
Yeah. I love this game.
I know.
Yeah.
Dave?
Make my oatmeal.
Oh, very good. That's yes, strong. Very good. Those were two good ones.
Thank you, John.
I'm sorry, yes. All right, Jake?
Pureed.
Make my pureed.
Pureed.
Make my puree. Puree is what you would do. Okay. You would have to puree something.
Mary Vandeveld on the
puree
floor.
Puree is the verb.
I kind of went the other way. Make my... What?
No.
I didn't even say anything.
It's okay. It wasn't for you, Mary. Go ahead.
Make my bedpan.
Bedpan. Okay.
Well, that would be
nursing
a That would be a manufacturing thing.
That's
on
that. Oh, come on.
There's tool and die involved. Okay. Mary Sandberg, yes?
Go ahead and make my breakfast.
Breakfast.
That's strong. Okay. Yeah, I went along
these
the same
are good.
Lines.
Okay. Make my soup.
Make my soup.
This is amazing. Aww. We had not one match through this entire game.
Once again, you're listening to the worst group of celebrity matchers ever on Match Game. And both of them will win what?
App gift cards.
Again, that is policing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. And we're back with the big story next. And Coach, he's a rock guy from way back. He loves that guitar stuff. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We had a Who record on a few minutes ago. I didn't even recognize it. Yeah, I need to come to you for all my Who questions.
Yeah.
It's called The Seeker. Do you remember The Seeker?
You don't hear it as much.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a rumor that we're all getting older. I'm not buying it. I don't know about you.
That's just a rumor.
The Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. The roll continues now as you get into an interesting stretch here with the Blues there and Edmonton here. The Blues will be around all year, right? As Blackhawk fans, let's get used to it. They're going to be a pain in our butts all year long.
They're going to be they're good. We saw Nashville. They're good. We saw Minnesota. I know they got tons of injuries, but they're a good team. And we know St. Louis can be good. Our division is still going to be very tough. And St. Louis got off to a tremendous start, and they'll be hungry tomorrow night after two losses down in Florida. So, our division's not going to get any easier. I think the start we had is kind of what we're looking for. We looked at our schedule here with eight games right off the bat against real good teams, and hopefully we can fare well within a couple of games, and then be a real positive start. And it'll start looking at the next road trip, and then it gets even more interesting. So it's a good beginning.
Yeah, and you're going with back-to-backs here, and Edmonton back here. This is one of the best young teams. Boy, if you'd said 2 years ago, Edmonton is going to be a force in less than 2 years, I don't think anybody would have bought it. But they got some of the best young talent in the league.
Well, they went through several years of picking early, and then having these kids come in, and then they had ordinary years, and then they got McDavid, who is the next level of an elite player, and you know, he seemed to take the team in that next direction last year, and you know, they got off to an ordinary start, but you know, they lost Dreisaitl, who is a great player as well. So it's a you know, it's a team with some really high-end young kids, but they, you know, they added some nice pieces to complement these guys, and I think that balance last year paid off for them.
Well, you got some very high-end young kids of your own, including one of whom has been out the last four games, Nick Schmaltz. What difference will he make being back for you tomorrow?
Well, based on what we saw in the first game and what we saw over training camp, Schmaltz is taking this game to a new level, and it seems like we get a whole new group of guys that that line can be extremely dangerous. Got speed off the rush, puck possession, seems to have great chemistry with Kaner. You know, and Hartsy at the net, I'll bring a little bit something different. So it's got the makings for a really, really dangerous unit. It gives our opponents something to think about and could open up whether they want to check Kaner's line or Johnny's line. And that line's been going good. So it really gives you a good 1-2 punch and gives us, you know, look at when you got Sharpie and DeBrincat and Hardy on another line, we feel they all can score, and sometimes that loosens up coverage on the other lines as well.
I know it's a relatively small sample size. You're talking about six games so far. If we go back to this time last year, your penalty kill was a little bit of a problem. Is there an area now that you see anything that concerns you based on the first six games?
I don't see problems. I see areas where we can improve. I think we can be better on our own end. I think we can. Teams are taking a lot of shots. The quality isn't as much as the shots would indicate, but we're still giving up a few more chances than we'd like. I think we want to tighten up that area. We'd like to be better on our power play. We're going to change units today and in our practice here and going into the game. I think a freshened look will be good for everybody, and hopefully that can ignite some of our consistency of that area, knowing that if we're not scoring, at least generated some momentum and some zone time. And I think that, you know, we got the capabilities with the personnel, so looking for that to spark.
Connor Murphy comes over, and this is a kid who's only 24. Should have great years for a long time. Big kid, 6'4". And I wouldn't say he's off to a slow start, but what are we expecting to see out of him going forward?
Well, he's a steady defenseman. He'll give us some physicality on the back end. You know, I think he's a reliable kid. You got to love his enthusiasm. He's come in here with, you know, we were looking at a lot of new different personnel on the back end. And so far, I think our defense has been fine in a lot of ways. And, you know, the first three games, we had the same group play. We had, you know, Franz has got some experience. We want to get him in the lineup, and he's played a couple games for us. And, you know, I think that as a group, I think you all want to play to your strengths, and that consistency and dependability is what we look for as coaches and the team. And but everybody's been we've been happy with everybody. We have one more Oz Oster that hasn't got in the game yet, and so we're waiting to see if he can eventually get in, because we feel he can help us too. So it's been a good situation with a lot of unknown going into the season. And but you know, they're all going to play, and I think Murph has been fine as he's getting accustomed to being in Chicago.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. I'm trying to go back in my memory the other day. I was thinking about this, and have you guys gotten off to a better start since you've been coach? I don't remember a year where it felt better. Do you, Dave?
Well, 2013 was
the undefeated run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it? But this one, but it's hard to say this doesn't feel great, Coach, because it does.
It feels good. I know that the other one, you know, you can't anticipate, you know, you always think that you won't. You always say it. We always say it. It's so important to get off to a good start. So we've been pretty good for the most part at beginning and putting ourselves in a pretty good spot early. And this year, our schedule was looking at us in the eye saying, wow, this can't be any tougher. So we'll take the first six games, and you know, we're excited to see what's going to happen over the next, you know, 4 points. And then, I think all the other years have been comparable. A couple years have been 500 about over this stretch, but for the most part, we've gotten off to good beginnings, and that's a compliment to the guys and how they prepare over the summer, and you know, how organized they are in their own game, looking to be good right off the bat.
Saturday feel like a better win than just a regular win because it was Nashville and it looked ugly late?
It didn't look good. I thought the first 40 minutes or so they were controlling a lot of the play or the puck, and I thought as the third period started to go, we started to get some more traction and get some zone time. But at the end, winning that game was huge. Against a divisional opponent, that was a valuable 2 points. And coming back late when you look like you could get none, and getting two is huge. So it's a disappointing game against Minnesota, and in a very similar situation, not getting any points. So it was a good response or rebound from that game.
And Ryan Hartman scoring a bunch of points early, which is good. You mentioned him earlier, but I want to make sure he gets credit too, because, Coach, you got a lot of good problems on your hand. How do you get these lines together with so many good guys and so much talent out there? But it seems like it's working so far.
Well, I think everybody wants to play, and your top guys got to play, and they get other situations where the quality can be a little higher, be it 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 overtimes or the regular shifts or starting or last minutes of periods. But at the end of the day, I think our line combinations are so that there's a little internal competition of getting a little bit more quality ice time or a little bit more, and I think pushing one another in a positive way is going to be healthy for not just the power play units, but our line combinations. And I think there's upside on all the lines as far as generating offense and playing the right way. So it's that's encouraging, and then we think we got an energy line that's been something we haven't had in a while that can keep everybody. Say comfortable is not the right word, but at least provide what we're looking for, that intensity, some physicality, and a real purpose to it.
Great story off the ice, too. Hockey players don't quit ever, and Eddie Olczyk, in the middle of the toughest fight he's ever had, is going to be in the booth for a couple of days. I know that'll pump the guys up even more. So, Coach, thanks as always.
Yeah, good story. I always think of Eddie. I look forward to seeing him tomorrow as well.
All right, bud. Have a good trip. That's Coach Q. He'll be in St. Louis and then home with Edmonton here. Minute before 9, CLTV joins us in a moment.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Woo! 9:12, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Number 1,011. That's pretty good. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show, on Facebook, 312-981-7200. That's the number if you want to call or you want to text. I hold in my hands, well, my hand, this lovely piece of printed material from the Tivoli Theater.
Beautiful Tivoli Theater.
Yes, which features my giant head. Promoting New Year's Eve, because why wouldn't you get your New Year's Eve tickets this week? They're going to be on sale by the end of the week.
Yeah. How great is that? For the second year, we are going to be back at the Tivoli in downtown Downers Grove. And here today, Mark Mazremes. Did I do that?
It almost sounded like you hurt himself saying your name, didn't
it? I know. It was painful. No matter what people said last year about the show, I said we're having you guys back.
Yeah, nicely done by you. Hey, what are you guys, with all the theaters you have, what are you doing for Halloween?
We have a lot of fun. We do a lot of free Halloween kid shows almost at every location. And this year we're going to do October 28th at 10 a.m. Most of the shows are free. And if you come in costume, they're always free. They might be a buck. This year we're going to do Minions, those lovable little yellow guys, at every one of our locations except for the Tivoli.
Yeah, what's with the Tivoli?
Tivoli, we're going to do Despicable Me 3, which has Minions in it. That's part of their Halloween happening, but we tie in with the different communities we're in, and I think we're 14 theaters, 13 communities now. We love doing Halloween and holiday shows. It makes us part of being your hometown theater.
Since Halloween has become a grown-up holiday, I see more and more stuff where kids are doing daytime and afternoon so the parents can go out at night. we used to start trick-or-treating when it got dark.
When you're growing, really? Because it wasn't 3 o'clock?
No, it was always later, or else you'd go
out. No. We never went out till it was dark.
You'd go out, you'd wait an hour or so after school, and then you'd go, and then when it was dark, we'd go out again.
See, I would go on even the off days. I didn't care.
No, you
wouldn't. You just like the idea of people giving you candy?
Hey, I knock at the door, and somebody gives me a Snickers. Call it a day, baby.
Yeah, phone it in. Dave, what was it like when you would go from village to village and people had burning clubs?
Well, we didn't, you know, we didn't have paper bags. We had burlap sacks.
Ah, yes.
As you went cave to cave.
Cave to cave, exactly.
I remember pillowcases.
Yeah, sure.
I would use a pillowcase.
And as a dad, did you eat your kids' candy?
Me?
Yeah.
Never.
You never
I have
ate?
Always. Now, you should know this. I have always brought... we used to bring our kids candy in here.
Well, yeah, we all
we'd
did.
Give
we'd
them some, but we yeah. and today,
but you
we
always
don't get...
you always stole from your kids candy. Put the kids to bed. Say, take some out of the bag.
I would never do that to my kids.
You never, not one time,
never.
He's the only dad in America that never stole his kids.
I believe that because Entity's healthy.
I don't eat candy.
Right. He's not.
In his defense,
candy guy.
I would steal from his kids.
Yeah, you would go into his house. And
I would
take
go
his
and go,
kids
"Hey, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm daddy today."
Right. Yeah, I used to do the thing where I'd take the Reese's peanut butter cup stuff and go, "Hey, kids, I don't know if this is safe."
Right.
They've taken chocolate and they've mixed it with peanut butter. The tests are not in yet.
Yeah.
Here, you guys have the gum.
You can have the what's the coconut candy that no
yes.
one likes? The
yes,
mounds.
Yes.
And the
oh, the almond joy and the mounds.
Yes, those are awful.
Yeah. I understand there's a new mural that's up.
Yes, in Woodstock about a week ago, they did a dedication. There's a pedway along, oh, God, I'm going to guess the northeast side of the building. They took this long blank wall and took an artist over 3 months to paint this beautiful mural that plays a kind of tribute to the entertainment in Woodstock, a panel for Chester Gould, Dick Tracy, wrote Dick Tracy. There's one for Orson Welles, who as a child set foot on stage for the first time was in Woodstock, yeah. One for the Opera House that has had Paul Newman along with
Orson
Welles. Yeah, and then the last one is Groundhog Day. And, Steve, you can come over and look at that over and over
Why wouldn't
and
you?
Over again.
Why wouldn't you? And Woodstock's beautiful.
It is. It's got a square. It's a beautiful location. And we've been there for a while, but the movie theater has been there November 8th. It will be its 90th anniversary of that theater. Now, what's there now is a little more modern. A
little more. It's gorgeous. I went out, remember last year, I went out to go see the, is it the Harold Ramis Theater?
Auditorium.
Yeah. Auditorium.
We do that. And yeah, and it's a beautiful location. So we thought, you know, we have all these historic theaters in the Classic Cinemas family. So every time a anniversary comes up, we try to come up with a celebration. So November 8th, about 11 a.m., we're going to have Mayor Brian Sager, who's wonderful, and he's going to do a proclamation. We're going to cut a big cake, sing happy birthday to the Woodstock Theater, and all our patrons can get popcorn and drink for 90 cents that day.
Great.
And that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And how big is that cake? How big is that cake?
It's going to be huge.
90 acres.
90 acres. Yeah. It's a 90-acre cake.
It's a sheet cake. Yeah. Well, the cool thing about what you guys do at the company is with all these theaters and all these communities is it's not the multiplex. Multiplex is fine, but you guys have managed to maintain community businesses and these community landmark theaters when others have shut them down.
Yeah, and become the anchor.
It's an investment.
Yeah, anchors for many of the downtowns and keeping the ambiance of the historic theater, but with the amenities of today, the coolest sound and screen that we do. So, and even for this anniversary, we're going to show from 1927.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, Steve, but Wings. It was the very first Academy Award winning Best Picture.
And wasn't this one? This one was filmed as a silent picture, and then they added sound later.
They added sound, and it's...
How do you know that?
Visuals.
Because I'm full of useless information.
Well, it was only 34 years before I was born. But, Dave, didn't you review that in college?
Yeah, I did. I did.
And then New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, the big blowout show on New Year's Eve.
You know, so how great is it to be back again? And last year, we did two shows. We did one up north, and then we came back. This year, we're only doing one. One show at the Tivoli on New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock. On New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's Sunday night, which normally is a school night. Now you can feel like you're really getting away with something.
Now you can.
Yeah. So,
but you know the problem is we only have 1,000 seats at the Tivoli, so people are going to have to get tickets to make sure they're one of the lucky ones.
And they should do it as soon as they're available, and they're going to be available by Friday.
They will be just go to Eventbrite, and it'll say Steve Cochran. You click on it and buy the tickets, so get them early because
so
it was.
Can't get 20 comps this year.
Andrea cannot go this year.
Not 20.
But she can go.
I just can't get any comments.
No, I think I just said
you
no.
You shut it down? ClassicCinemas.com for all things related to classic cinema. It's always good to see you, my friend.
All right, Steve. We'll see you
looking
at the movies.
Forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait. And good luck with Halloween and everything that's
Halloween,
coming up.
Halloween, yes. Holiday yeah. Film Fest. Yeah. It's all at ClassicCinemas.com.
And don't forget to steal candy from your kids.
That's exactly right. It's 9:20. More in a moment on 7:20 WGN. It is 9:24, and you guys want to chime in with picks, or you're okay?
Yeah, let's do picks.
Okay. Picks for tonight?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So, yeah. What do you got?
I'm saying Cubs.
Do we need to pick the score?
No. Just casual picks.
Yeah, no, Cubs.
Okay.
Cubs for sure.
And do we have Wang Dang Doodle results? Because it seems like this would be a good place for us to fill in on the Wang Dang Doodle. By the way, we'll give you one more swing at match game before 10 o'clock.
Right.
So, Sandberg approaching from the West, and she will now tell us from worst to first how everybody did in the Wang Dang Doodle.
I would like the Cubs to win, just so you know, because I'm going this evening.
Oh, very good.
What shape are you going to be in for the morning show tomorrow?
I'm guessing not good.
I appreciate your commitment.
She's honest.
You got an extra ticket, Mary?
I don't. I'm going with my husband. So
I believe what Steve is saying is, why does Pat have to go?
Right, exactly.
All righty, let's do this Wang Dang Doodle results.
Worst to first.
Worst to first. In fifth place, we have Andrea Darlis and Steve Grzanich, our news team.
But wait, can I just say, I think we should get the Spirit Award because Steve picked this week.
Right.
He was totally psyched. I backed his pick.
Who knew Aaron Rodgers would go down?
Aaron Rodgers is a wuss.
And it was cute when he sent me the pick. He said, Green Bay beating Vikings. Beating.
Obviously versed in the verbiage of sports.
Yes. So we'll get him next week, Steve.
You're in fifth place.
Go defense.
There's a tie for fourth place. Mike Jacobson and Mary Vandeveld, also Cochran and the non-existent listener because we did it off the air. So
Where was I?
You guys are in fourth. You're tied for fourth with the Marys.
Well, that's bad.
Oh, that stinks.
Let me go to the subconscious.
I mean, did you double-check those scores?
Yeah, really?
I did. I know.
Who is third?
Well, second place because you guys are tied for it. Dave Edit and John DeCuss are in second place.
Oh, look at you.
This was easily our worst week or John's worst week.
Well, it was. There's no question about it.
Who picked that one? I'm just kidding.
That was me.
Oh,
I felt pureed when I did it.
You did.
And our celebrity picker was Biscuit Sandberg, my sister's dog.
Oh.
And he came in first.
Oh, seriously?
Get out.
What?
Biscuit won?
He did.
How horrifically sad is that?
He had the Rams over the Jaguars.
How did Biscuit pick? Did he kind of just like put his paw in the thing?
I'm not sure. My sister relayed the information to me.
Are you saying we all lost to a biscuit?
Yeah, to biscuit.
No, a dog, not a biscuit.
Yeah, we need a do-over.
We'll do our new picks in a couple of days. 9:26. All right, now, when I'm doing this story, I want everyone here, including you, Sandberg, I want you to think about the worst thing you did to an ex.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
We could pick this up as a text question tomorrow or beyond, but Bahamas-based banker Guy Gentile dumped his Russian model girlfriend, Christina Kuchma, over dinner at a restaurant last weekend. Gentile runs a brokerage. Problem is, he didn't get the keys back to his Mercedes. She took the car and drove it into the backyard swimming pool at his house. Took 4 hours to fish it out. Business Insider asked about the incident, and Gentile said, I must accept some responsibility. If a woman is not crazy, she doesn't love you. And I must have driven her crazy if her to have driven my car into the pool. We have pictures. We should probably post these pictures so people could see them if they haven't. But the Mercedes is at the bottom of the pool.
Oh, man.
All right, worst thing you ever did to an ex?
Nothing.
Wow. Nothing, all right? I know that's a lie. What about you, Vanderbilt?
No, I can't think of anything.
All right, let's go to the mother load then. Sandberg, worst thing you ever did to an ex?
She's dying, though.
I broke up via email.
Really?
Yeah, I said, you know that breakup thing I was talking about? Well, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
By email?
Mm-hmm. While they were out of town.
But none of you guys...
Did you CC anybody?
I didn't.
No.
Did you set up your out-of-office assistant so if he replied, it would just bounce back?
I didn't.
None of you guys destroyed personal property?
No, I'm not really a personal... I like to... I'm more...
Oh, you got one?
No, go ahead, Mir.
I'm more of a sabotager, of your life. You know, I may not actually, you won't know what I did until later. And it's usually.
Wow. What, do you have a service?
I really thought about
this. Did you start a service for this?
What, do you like put their like toothbrush in the toilet and then put it back in the toothbrush
holder?
I think
we're going deeper, right? Probably IRS audit territory.
Yeah, I might tell somebody something that they didn't know prior or something. And they won't be able to trace it to me. And My hands are clean.
Pat Boyle right now is moving out of the state.
I was going to say.
Warning, Pat Boyle.
Don't mess with me.
So you destroyed property?
All I'm going to say is some contact lenses might have found their way into the garbage. It was a really long time ago and well-deserving.
And they were
don't mess with Andrea.
A girlfriend of mine, she cut all the tips of the ties off a guy that broke up with her, and I thought that was a fabulous retaliation.
It's kind of funny because you wouldn't notice until you put it on, and then you put the second one on and the third one on.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So still nothing, Vanderbilt?
I got to ask my best friend, but I'm sure she's got a few that I've done. Mm. They just, you know, have just, I forgot right now.
It's too good a text question to waste because I know the audience is even more evil than Sandberg. So we'll bring it back on tomorrow's show. But worst thing you ever did to an ex. And can you post a
How
picture
you,
of the
Steve
Mercedes
Packer?
At the bottom of the pool?
Really? Steve Packer, do you
Steve has a list.
Listen, I'm a giver, not a taker.
Oh, yeah.
It's 9:29. Big story next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
On CLTV and 720 WGN. And earlier this morning on Channel 9, Annabelle Laval invited the show to come out and dance with her. Are they still out there? Look over my shoulder.
Yes, they are.
On Channel 9 this morning, they're doing a little Cubs pep rally behind Pioneer Court before you get to the Michigan Avenue Bridge. And you guys were dancing.
We were. John and I were doing a little salsa
time.
Dancing? Is that what we were doing?
I was just moving. Let's
I
just
think
put
the audience is judging you now on CLTV.
Yeah, they wanted John to, what did they say? Get hot and get down?
Get hot and get down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He got down.
I don't get down.
Don't get down that often, and you're generally hot. You
yes,
run a little
I'm
hot.
I'm hot, but, that's fine.
So thank you to Channel 9. Obviously, thank you to CLTV every 9 o'clock hour in the morning and 3 o'clock hour with Ro and Anna on CLTV. I'm in studio now with Sherry Law. Sherry's got a very cool life story as far as I'm concerned, but a great business story as well. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Before we get to your business, it's 1980. You're a single mother, recently divorced, and it's time for you. It's time for you to either decide, I'm going to chase what I dream about and think about. I'm going to make a life for my kids and me, or I'm not. It takes a lot of guts.
Yes, and you know what? I was a waitress at the time, and it was so hard with two kids and no help with them, so I decided to open my own business so they could be at work with me.
So you always had a thing for art. Were you an artist at that point or more of an art vendor, I guess?
Always loved art. Went to college while I was married and taking some courses. But then I found Art Glass, and it kind of inspired my spirit. So once I decided to open my business, that's where I went with the Art Glass.
What's the biggest hurdle you had to overcome? Because people don't necessarily believe in you because you believe in you.
Right. Actually going to the banks because as an artist, banks do not want to loan money to artists.
Right, because all you are, we're artists. Yeah. All of us, we're a bunch of flim-flammers.
So it took quite a while, but I finally secured a loan with the SBA.
Oh,
and
nice.
I built a building, and I was the first woman in Will County that was given the money to build a building, and we carried on from there.
You now have a studio located where?
In Homer Glen.
Okay. And you employ a bunch of artists?
We have 6 artists on staff, and together we collaborate and make everything that we do.
And you create this incredible art glass. Ugh. We're looking at the pamphlets, brochures, with print pieces that you brought in. These are amazing. Now, I don't know how to describe this. I guess if people can visualize stained glass in a church, visualize that, but with an artistic sort of painting look to it, as opposed to the geometric stained glass shapes, right?
Well, that's our new fused glass, which is the hottest thing going right now. So we actually take our glass and melt it to 1,400 degrees to create the art that we're doing. So, and our website shows a lot of this, that it's not just for churches anymore. It's in homes. We've been doing it for 38 years.
Is it the same process as stained glass?
No.
It's totally different.
We use glass that's made for fusing, and then we might cut pieces, or we use frits and stringers. And, you know, I'm very artistic, and together we come up with new ideas all the time.
So you'll get a flat piece of glass that's appropriate for the project.
Yes.
And then you'll cut the shape you're looking to cut, and then you'll heat it?
Yes, then we heat it. So we take it back to the molten state. And then there's lots of different things that we embellish it with. We might break up chunks of glass and we'll fuse it to it so it's dimensional then. And now we also backlight it. So when it's in the room, it's very ambient, creates a nice effect.
It's amazing. How do you come up with the various colorizations of it?
I just have a good eye for design. That's one of the talents God gave me. And so that's my blessing. And That's what we do.
So you see it where others don't, which, yes, of course, what an artist should see. Do people try to commission you to do particular types of work, or, yes, is that not good for glass?
No, everything we do is commission work.
Okay, mm-hmm. But somebody can't come in and go, give me a glass version of the dogs playing pool. That's probably not going to work.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's got to, mm-hmm, be a little more free form. Questions for sure.
All right, I want to know how hard it is to work with glass, because obviously if you have a canvas, maybe you can color it up with different color paints, but you can't, obviously you can't crack the glass. You have to be super gentle. So how do you not make mistakes?
Oh, we have a glass cutter, so we score the glass and break it. So, and there's a lot of different glass available to us. And if we don't have the exact right color, we just did a large window of ganache, the Indian god, and we...
Yeah, yeah, I've got that. Ganache, the Indian god, playing, yeah, pool.
So we didn't have the right color, so we actually had to fuse each of the pieces, and then we let them together. So
how long does it take, start to finish?
That project probably took a couple weeks. But in the fusing, it takes 2 days for us to fuse one piece, so we have to wait for that to be done. And then
you've got to be patient.
We are.
So how many different projects can you be working at one time?
We might have about 20 at a time. And, wow, and the whole, wow, company might have about 50 orders in-house. And in different stages, you're ordering in the glass and waiting for things to come in.
Do people come in not knowing what they want?
Yes, and then we'll give them a tour. We have a whole design center filled with photos and ideas. They can see the shops where we work, take them up to my house. We have a home showroom showing glass and windows, refrigerator doors.
I was just talking about your kitchen. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, and I was looking at these same pictures. On the stove, you have, I guess, would be a backsplash, but it's, yeah, not really that. It's just a beautiful design behind the stove. So behind that, is it, impervious to grease and,
yeah,
all that other stuff?
Yeah, because it's a piece of glass. All, okay, of our work is done from the back, and so you can wipe it off. So it's very easily done. And I never understood why there was never any art in a kitchen. So that's one of the things we decided,
exactly,
to do. Yeah.
So do you have to seal the glass in a particular way?
We'll seal around the edges so no dirt can get behind it. But it's a piece of glass.
But it's a very sturdy piece of glass. Yes. It's like picking up a window, I suppose.
We use a,
right,
thicker piece of glass for it.
What is the most expensive mistake you've made in 37 years?
Good question.
There has to be times where you've had a piece or one of your employees
had. Every now and then. I mean, you know, maybe a $5,000 piece, it's something's wrong or, you know, but not too often. We're really careful.
And the biggest piece you've been commissioned to do?
It's
because it's probably physical size, right?
Yes. In Naperville, we did a 24-foot high by 16-foot wide of the Cars of the Century. And it's the side of the parking garage. And our largest project will be coming up. We're doing St. Therese and Darien, a huge glass wall for them.
It's got to be fun.
It is. I mean, every day is inspiring, and we always do different things.
Plus, how cool it is that you go around and you see your work out there, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're driving around and go, I did that. I did that.
Yeah, that's got to be fun.
Yeah. I like there's one, it almost looks like an aquarium.
Yes.
How on earth do you do that? It almost looks as you can reach in and touch and go, and you go, wait a minute, oh, wait, that's glass.
Each of those elements were individually made, like the turtle. So we made the turtle in our kiln, and then we fused it onto a couple other pieces of glass.
It looks amazing. Like a very cool aquarium.
Yeah. It is. It's right at the end of a lap pool in
Lamont.
It'd
be cool for a kid's room, too. Not just in your family.
Kids room with some rich parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
For people that want more information on the company, how do they get a hold of you?
Okay, sherrylaw.com. You can look us on the website. Or
S-H-A-R-I.
S-H-E-R-I.
I'm sorry.
Sherry Law.
S-H-E-R-I-L-A-W.com. Mm-hmm.
And we're open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Got a phone number you want to throw?
708-301-2800.
And for single moms or anybody out there that's listening, and particularly women, though, mm-hmm, who have an idea that they're passionate about, but they haven't taken the leap yet, what do you say to them?
Just go for it. I mean, when I first got divorced, I came across the Crisis Center, and I was fortunate that I had family and friends that helped me out. But the Crisis Center is one of the charities that we support, and they help women that are in domestic violence, and they have a 24-hour hotline. They'll give them shelter. And so things that I've been able to do for them is I toured their facility where the people stay, and I donated a beautiful stained glass window. So when the people there in the shelter, in their TV room, in the kids' playroom, there's a gorgeous stained glass window they can enjoy. And that's what it's about, enjoying our work, the ambience it brings, or
it's
the
very
prisms
cool.
it throws.
What a nice donation. Yeah. And the light refracts through stained glass in, yes, a special way, doesn't it?
And that's the beauty of it. It's not, yeah, just the piece, it's what it does. I mean, there's times in my studio at night that there's just designs all over the ceilings, just the way light hits things.
It's wild. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Right.
So, and we also had made them a new sign when they had a new logo. It's a great place, and they also have it's called Neat Repeats, where they sell donations, like people donate clothes and items, uh-huh, for the home, and, yeah, everything there is used to support the crisis center.
And you've been working with the crisis center for a long time.
Yeah, I've been on their board for about 10
years. Oh, have you?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Well, great to meet you. You're very inspiring, but the work's incredible.
Thank you.
I want to start with something small. Could you do something, say, the size of my knuckle, and then we'll build up from there?
We do little tiny, we do small wine, bar stoppers, you know, wine stoppers.
Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What a cool business. Nice to meet you. Sherry Law, SHERI Law.com. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Congrats on your success. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And by the way, if we can, we'll post some of those pictures up to, or at least link it to your website so people can see it online. Let's do one more match game. You want to do one more match game? It went so well the first time. Why wouldn't we repeat it? Callers now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We play when we come back on 720 WGN and CLTV. It's match game. It's not like match game. It's match game. Well, it's not like we took the idea from anybody else. This is match game. This is way different than match game. John's here to host match game. And our first contestant is Patty from Schaumburg. Hello, Patty from Schaumburg.
Hello.
All right, Patty from Schaumburg, you're going to have to match and as many celebrities as possible, but don't give your answer up until all the celebrities have finished writing. John.
Are you ready, Patty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. John.
Patty sounds super excited.
Yes, calm down. Seriously, calm down.
Okay.
Here we go, Patty. John DeCause said to his son, "It's not true. I wanted a daughter instead of you. Now be quiet and put on your blank." John said to his son, "It's not true. I wanted a daughter instead of you. Mm-hmm. Now be quiet and put on your blank." Celebrities, are we all ready?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody ready? Patty, you want to give me your answer?
I'll say football helmet.
Football helmet.
All right. Hold the line if you could, Patty. Stand by. Don't think Patty entirely understood the question. Fire it up. Who are we going to first?
Okay, let's go. Let's go to Jake.
Jake, what's your answer?
Dress.
Dress.
Okay,
that
very
works.
Good.
Right?
Good answer. Yes.
I have to listen to the question. So there we go.
And Patty, hold the line. Patty.
Yeah, hold the line.
Hold the line.
Dave? Football helmet.
Dave.
I said tutu because that actually also creates the continues the poem because it rhymes.
Yeah, we've lost interest in your answer. Next.
Andrea, sorry.
I said dress as well.
Dress as well, perfect.
I said
sundress.
Sundress.
Mary Sandberg.
I said lip gloss.
Lip gloss.
Okay. You know what, Sandberg, that's your best answer ever in this game.
Originally, I went with harmonica, but then I decided
to go. Oh, boy, am I glad you changed. Okay. Harmonica would have sucked.
And then Mary Vanderbilt upstairs.
I went with what women love, shoes, stilettos.
Perfect.
Oh, put it on your stilettos. Oh, that's good.
I'm just saying
put on your stilettos.
Oh, thank you.
We've had three contestants. We have not had one match
yet.
We're going for a record.
That's all
going
to change with Aileen. Aileen from Wheaton. Aileen. Good morning, Aileen.
Good morning.
All right, Aileen, ready to play. Here's John.
Aileen, you know how to play, correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Here you go. Mary Vanderbilt.
Aileen, no pressure. You have to get one to win.
Just one for the whole day today. Mary Vanderbilt and her husband, Steve, were the strangest couple on the dance floor. Instead of dancing cheek to cheek, they were blank to blank.
Hold on, Aileen. Don't say your answer yet. Instead of dancing cheek to cheek,
they were blank to blank.
Okay. All right.
Let me know when all the celebrities are in. I see all the everybody writing.
I'm done.
Okay, very good. Everybody, there we go. Okay, Aileen, what is your answer? Aileen?
I'm going to say feet to feet.
Feet to feet.
You say feet or seat?
Feet.
Feet, okay.
Feet.
All right, hold the line. Once again, I'm pretty sure that's going to come back with a zero. All right, let's go around the room.
I don't know if I can.
Where this one's going. Okay, I'll go first.
Yes, Mary, sorry.
I've got hip to hip like a three-legged race.
Very good. Very good. Hip to hip is good.
You were on such a roll until that one.
We were looking for harmonica.
You're really going strong.
We're looking for harmonica.
Banana Leffy type. Yeah,
that's right. Leffy type. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Steve.
Instead of cheek to cheek, cheeks to cheeks.
Ah. Ah.
I don't get it. Yeah. Okay.
And along the Steve Cochran line of thinking, yes. I put butt to butt.
Yeah, okay. That's the same answer.
Same answer.
That's the same
butt answer. Butt to butt, cheek to cheek. Dave?
It's that ear to ear.
Okay, that's the worst answer we've had so far in this round.
Like
Jake?
Week.
Jake?
I understand.
It's the worst.
I said earlobe to earlobe.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, where's the ding? Come on.
Let me clear it up. Let me clear it up. That's the worst answer. The one Jake.
And then upstairs, Mary Vanderbilt.
Well, those aren't too bad because actually my husband is short, so when I put on high heels, we're kind of the same height.
Yeah, what's your answer?
I put, I stuck with the B's, but I went back to back.
Okay.
It's kind of difficult.
I just want to say this was today. In general, was the worst day.
I honestly,
of the match
I didn't think we could get worse than we have in previous
times.
No, we pulled it off. One more.
We pulled it off.
Yeah, we'll be doing it on the Bill and Wendy show. They're next on 720 WGN. Hang on, callers.